The Pentagon has proposed base closures for the past 4 years, and Congress keeps saying no. Among the most costly defense activities is maintaining some 1,000 bases, camps, and airfields around the world. Well, how did DOD wind up with so many bases overseas in the first place? David Vine is an associate professor of anthropology at American University and author of Base Nation: How Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. He joins me now with some insight into how the military could rationalize some of this real estate. Mr. Vine, great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so give us an idea of the extent of military holdings, especially around the world. We know in the United States they've been trimming, but what about outside of the United States?
It's been a little while since they've trimmed in the United States, and there's some 4,000 base sites within the 50 states in Washington, D.C. But overseas, as you mentioned, they're nearing 1,000 base sites by the Pentagon's count. So that's outside the 50 states and D.C. By the Pentagon's official count, it's 686 base sites. But the Pentagon's annual accounting excludes numerous well-known bases in places like Kuwait, as well as secretive bases that are less well-publicized in places like Saudi Arabia. So by my accounting, over 14 years of research, at the current moment, about 800 is a good estimate. And you know, these bases are ones that in many cases date to World War II. The United States has had bases since actually shortly after independence in other countries. But the vast majority of the bases developed were acquired or built during World War II and in the early days of the Cold War. And many of these bases have remained in place ever since.
Now, I've seen some pictures of some of the bases, say, in Great Britain, from which the bombing attacks were launched. And they're basically look like overgrown weedy kinds of places with hulking bombers sitting there rusting in the sunlight. But how many of them are active? How many are actually occupied and used daily of this roughly 800 that are all over the world?
Well, it's important to point out that the among these 800 base sites, they range in size from giant city-sized bases with tens of thousands of troops and family members to much smaller bases, radar stations, communication sites, lily pad bases, a new increasingly popular breed of bases that often has small numbers of troops, but perhaps drones or designed specifically for special operations forces. But most of among the 800 are active, and most of them are quite well taken care of, quite well appointed. Many of the bigger bases, of course, look like sort of idealized suburban American towns or cities, with well taken care of grass, shopping, fast food, and a range of other amenities.
And so that might be what you might see, say, in Japan, for example, say the Guam or places like that.
Exactly.
All right. And is there any knowledge? Do we know? Does the military know, or do you know what it costs to operate and maintain this infrastructure?
Well, the military, the Pentagon, has to put together an annual accounting for Congress, and their estimate over the past few years has been around $22 billion a year to maintain bases and troops overseas. And this struck me as I was surprised by that figure. The only other estimate I had seen was $250 billion, so there was a huge discrepancy here. So I carried out an analysis over a couple of years, in fact, as part of research for my book, Base Nation, and found that actually a much better estimate is along the range of $85 billion a year. So that's $85 billion a year that we spend, taxpayers spend, to maintain bases and troops overseas. And that doesn't account for the money we spend to maintain bases and troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we still have bases. If you would include that, you get to a figure around $156 billion a year. This is a huge amount of money, of course, and it's larger than the size of any government agency budget.
And it's about a fourth of the entire DOD budget.
Exactly. The only budget larger than that would be DOD itself.
Wow. So what kind of analysis do you feel that DOD actually does to see how rational this all is in the first place? Do they just sort of roll on with it year after year?
That's part of the problem, and part of the problem that, that Base Nation attempts to point to. And I think Congress has responsibility here, too. I think to too great an extent, this policy of maintaining very large numbers of bases and very large numbers of troops overseas has been one that has stayed around in large part out of inertia. It's a policy that dates to the earliest days of the Cold War, the forward strategy, and has become an unquestioned tenet of U.S. foreign policy that's shared, you know, across the political spectrum and within the military. Although I would say, encouragingly, there are people within the military and outside the military, again, across the political spectrum, who are beginning to question this you know, now 70-year-old almost policy that we need to have this huge base infrastructure overseas. Base Nation shows a range of ways, a variety of ways in which these bases are actually undermining U.S. national security and the security of people around the globe in very troubling ways.
We're speaking with David Vine. He's Associate Professor of Anthropology at American University and author of Base Nation, How Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. And so, yeah, let's go into that a little bit. How do they harm the United States or work against our best interests?
Well, I think
this number of bases.
Yeah, I think we have to begin with the costs. Of course, there are ways that you know those billions of dollars could be going to defend the United States itself, to defend the U.S. borders. There are, of course, ways that parts of the Pentagon budget could be used to address some of the very pressing needs here in the United States. You know, while we build this and maintain this very robust base infrastructure overseas, there are domestic infrastructures that are crumbling, our transportation infrastructure, schools, housing, healthcare. At the same time, you know, bases, for example, in the Middle East are entirely counterproductive in many ways. And we have bases in every Persian Gulf nation except Iran right now, and very large bases, I should say. But there's a clear correlation between the presence of U.S. bases and troops in the Middle East and radicalization and al-Qaeda recruitment in particular. And we need only think about Osama bin Laden's professed motivation for the 9/11 attacks. It was the presence of U.S. troops and bases in Saudi Arabia, the Muslim Holy Land, that was part of his justification for the attacks. Meanwhile, bases also inflict a range of damage on local communities, environmental damage. All too often, there are crimes and accidents that occur. Of course, the vast majority of troops don't commit crimes or don't get involved in accidents, but any single crime or accident often inflames anger and creates sentiments of anti-Americanism, sadly.
But couldn't one also argue that Osama bin Laden would have found any excuse he needed to carry out the attacks on the United States?
Absolutely, and I'm not an expert on his psychology, but the evidence is clear from research I've seen that beyond bin Laden, the presence of U.S. bases and troops in the Middle East radicalizes locals, and I mean not large numbers, but enough that would then be willing to commit acts of violence against Americans, directly, again, undermining our security.
And so I guess the question then becomes, how do you balance that against the fact that world security seems to be crumbling in many areas, and you've got Vladimir Putin on the march, maybe sticking, you know, the front of his cannons right into NATO, and then wouldn't it be true in that case you'd want an American base here and there in Europe to be able to counteract that should the NATO treaty have to be invoked?
Well, I think you're certainly hearing calls in parts of Europe for an increased U.S. presence, or at least maintaining the U.S. presence. But I think it's important to point out that our NATO allies are some of the largest military spenders in the world and a very robust military forces themselves, and the Russian military pales in comparison to that of the Soviet Union. There is no superpower military competitor like we faced in the Cold War, and I think it's dangerous to pretend that or to suggest that that's the case. Often, you know, those who would like to see the total military budget increased are making such claims, but I think they're just not accurate. And I think it's also important to point out that things have changed since the Cold War. Technological advancements, and there's a study in the Bush administration carried out, as well as the Rand Corporation, show that because of technological advancements, we can deploy forces from the continental United States or perhaps Hawaii to almost every location overseas virtually as fast as from any base overseas. And any marginal time difference is just not worth it when it comes to the cost that we bear when we keep bases and troops overseas. These bases are extraordinarily expensive and much more expensive than bases domestically. So there are people, Republicans, Democrats, others, who are saying, you know, because of these technological advancements, bases overseas have really lost much of their strategic value. So we could, you know, reinforce our allies in the case of any emergency from domestic bases. Meanwhile, those bases, you know, in the United States contribute to local economies, while, you know, a base in Germany, salaries for troops go into the German economy.
I guess it's like diving into first base. You don't get there any faster, and there's a lot of cost associated with it.
Exactly. Good analogy.
All right. So what has to happen? I mean, for this to, it seems like there's almost a stasis here with people looking at this but not agreeing. And now you're saying that there's some schism of thought within the military itself. So what could get this off the dime and maybe at least look at the situation? And it's unlikely every base overseas will be closed, but it seems increasingly unlikely that they can all be maintained.
Yeah, and my book, Base Nation, is not calling for the immediate closure of every base overseas. And instead, it's calling for a very careful analysis of the need for every single base we have overseas. And that sort of analysis really has not been carried out by the Pentagon or by Congress, for that matter. And so I think a lot starts with both the Pentagon and Congress providing better oversight over this base infrastructure to make sure that we truly need the bases that we have and to analyze carefully whether they're, in fact, undermining our national security, as I would suggest in all too many cases. But I also think people, members of the public, need to be talking about this. This is a major element of the way that the United States and Americans engage with the rest of the world. We don't think about them, these bases, much when here in the United States, but it is a major face of the United States. And I think a larger discussion is long overdue.
And for those faces that would remain or that we deem are necessary, could that face be changed to be a little bit more smiling, maybe, to the surroundings that in which it's located?
I think there are definitely ways we could do that, and the military, in many ways, is very concerned about the opinions of locals. Very much makes efforts to ensure that relations with locals are as good as possible. But crimes happen. Environmental damage is inflicted on local communities. So time and again, relations, unfortunately, are frayed. I should also say that there have been some analyses carried out by the Pentagon in Europe in particular about closing bases, and some large numbers of bases have been closed in the last decade or so. But at the same time, the military has been building new bases in Germany and Italy, for example, which often is very curious, and I think is a sign and a symbol of the way in which the military construction system in particular overseas has been out of control and really not under the careful oversight of Congress. And Congress really needs to play a much more active role in this critical element of our foreign policy.
David Vine is an associate professor of anthropology at American University and author of Base Nation, How Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.